You're listening to Stand Out, Get Noticed, episode 225.
Hi there, Rockstar, and welcome to Stand Out, Get Noticed. I'm Christina Canters with you here for episode 225. This is a very special episode because I'm joined by my wonderful husband, Mr. Aaron Heath.
That's me.
Hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I am sitting in our lovely hotel in Florida. We're at Podcast Movement 2019.
Yay. Yay. So those of you who've been following me for a little while may know that we came to Orlando, Florida. We actually got here like 3 days ago.
3 days. We went to Disneyland yesterday.
Yeah. Disney World.
Oh, Disney World. It's Disneyland. It's very different.
Yeah. You're not allowed to call it Disneyland. So we've been here for a few days, and last week on the show I mentioned that the next 4 weeks are going to be a little bit different. It's not going to be the usual programming because we are traveling for the next few weeks. But I thought, you know, each week I'll do a podcast that's to do with what we're up to and what we've been learning. So it may not necessarily be to do with communication, public speaking, you know, leadership in the workplace, which is what we normally talk about, but it'll still be interesting. At the very least.
Although this one is about presentation skills because we did go to Club Wyndham yesterday.
Yes. Tell us how that happened, Aaron.
Well, we wanted to go to Disney World and we went to the front desk of the hotel we were staying at and they were selling tickets to Disneyland and we were like, hey, we need 2 tickets. We're leaving tomorrow. And the guy was like, hey, I can get you cheap tickets.
And they were like half price.
Half price. Really cheap. So me and Christina were like, yeah, that sounds fantastic. So the guy was like, oh, you do have to sit through a presentation. It goes for, you know, an hour or whatever it was. And we were like, yeah, that sounds fine. And then he was like, you got to be here at 7:30. And yeah. I thought, damn, that's early.
That's less fine.
But then I also thought, you know, we are wanting to take advantage of the day at Disneyland, so we may as well get up early and get down there. So we agreed to it, signed our life away, and went down there and watched a presentation from Mark and had Michael as our, what would you call him?
I don't know, definitely not. They probably don't call themselves sales reps.
No.
Like customer experience. Manager, perhaps.
Something like that.
And we weren't planning on doing a podcast about this, by the way, but halfway through the presentation, I thought, oh my God, this is a podcast. I'm going to do a podcast about this. So today, Aaron and I are going to share with you our thoughts around the Club Wyndham presentation / sales pitch that we experienced because it was amazing to observe such a well-oiled machine in terms of like sales and presentations running. So we're going to share with you some of the things that we really enjoyed about it and what we learned. And, you know, some of these things you may very well apply to your own presentations, you know, or times or when you want to persuade or influence someone. Now, if you're listening to this and you know, I just want to mention before we get into it, if you're listening to this and you haven't yet joined my free Facebook group, then I invite you to join. We are the C Method Rockstars on Facebook. We've got a thriving community of awesome people there who are all committed to developing their presentation and communication skills. So come on over and join us. I post in there every single day. Can't wait to connect with you. That, again, is the C Method Rockstars. Okay, let's get into it. So when we arrived, so I'll just take you. So with this experience, like we walked into Club Wyndham and once they got us registered, we had Michael, our customer, we'll call him the customer experience manager, came in to meet with us and he asked us a few questions and then took us out to the balcony, which was overlooking the gorgeous pool. And, you know, we had a bit of a chat there. And one of the first things he said was, just want to let you know that there is no pressure to buy anything. You know, we're going to have a great conversation. We're going to have fun today. You know, let's go. Which I thought was a nice start to it because, I don't know, were you feeling a little bit uneasy at the start, Aaron?
Yeah, because essentially they're selling timeshare. So you're always a bit like, is it going to be the hard sell? Is it going to be the kid gloves approach.
Can you explain what timeshare is?
It's essentially where you give them money and you get access to, you know, a service or, you know, an area or...
So in this case, it's like you get a certain amount of points and you can redeem those points for stays in hotels, well, specifically Wyndham Resort hotels all around the world.
I think it was partners as well.
And they're partners, yeah. And it works out to being much cheaper. So, you know, if you're buying a certain number of points and you spend, let's say, 10,000 points or whatever it is for a room in a hotel, the rate's probably going to be, well, it's going to be much less than what you would pay normally if you booked it. And then you also get like shares. Do you get shares in the hotel?
You get shares, and then after you pay off, we'll pick an arbitrary number and let's say it's $10,000. And then you pay that off over 4 years and you get a certain amount of shares. And then every year you get to have 10 nights, you know, or 20 nights or whatever it is at hotels around the world.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So there's a bunch of different stuff. Yeah. Anyway, overall, it's a pretty good deal. Like if you're traveling a lot and you love resorts, it'll work really well for you. But anyway, we're not here to promote them. And by the way, they're not paying us to say this or anything.
Yeah, we didn't purchase.
No, we didn't. Just so you know, spoiler alert, we didn't purchase.
We did not purchase.
But we do want to share with you the whole sales presentation. So after we had the initial conversation with our customer service manager, we went into a room where there was like 40-odd people, maybe 30 people, like us, all seated there, and then they had, you know, a screen up there. And then in came Mark, who was like the manager, the head guy.
He did the presentation.
He did the presentation. And he spoke for, how long do you reckon? Like
30 minutes?
Oh, not even 40, I reckon. Maybe 30 minutes?
Yeah, something like that.
So something that I noticed straight away was he came in, he was super friendly, high energy, and then he had a whiteboard where he wrote up, why do you vacation? And he said, hands up, you know, tell me, why do you vacation? So people, you know, were immediately saying, oh, to relax, spend time with family, to see new places. And he wrote all this up. And this was fantastic because it got the audience talking first. And this is what I loved. He didn't just come out and say, we're Club Wyndham and this is what we do and this is why we're so great. No, he made it all about the audience and asked everyone else to contribute. And this was perfect because it then guided us towards the selling point. So someone said, you know, more time with family. And he said, yes. Now, isn't more time, who here believes that more time with family is important? And of course, everyone puts their hand up. So this was beautiful because it got everyone to like buy in from the start and go, yeah, this is why I'm here. You know, I want more time with family.
Although it did make me laugh that there was a few people who didn't put their hands up and Mark gave the slight eyebrow raise of what people don't want to spend time with family. And, you know, he used humor, which, you know, I always view as a good selling point as well. If you've got a bit of humor about you.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. Another thing that he did was ask everyone, where's your dream destination? So we got people to, you know, yell out where they want to go. About 70% of the room said Hawaii.
And we were in America. And I was like, surely you can think of somewhere more exotic than Hawaii.
But most people said Hawaii, Hawaii, Hawaii. And I'm like, anyone saying Australia? I think one person said Australia.
Yeah, one person said Australia.
Maybe they felt sorry for us. They're like, oh, we got to, you know, humor the Aussies in the room. But mostly it was Hawaii. Anyway, the point is he got everyone to contribute and share their experiences. So it was a very engaging start, which is what I really loved. And I thought that was a great start to the presentation. I noticed also he got a lot of hand raises, which is excellent if you want to engage with your audience. So asking people, you know, who's been to, you know, Canada, who's been to, you know, Hawaii, you know, and getting people to raise their hands. Who thinks that this is important, you know, and people raise their hands. And he did that throughout the presentation, which means that we continued to be engaged. Because as humans, it's very hard to, like if someone says, who believes spending time with your family is important, it's hard to not raise your hand. Like even if you're like, I don't want to raise my hand, you still feel like you should.
To be part of the group.
Exactly, because we all like to belong, you know, and I do this in my workshops as well. I'll get people to raise their hands. Were you going to say something, Aaron? He was making that face at me like, I want to say something. We need better facial communication.
Okay.
I think. Good thing we're not videoing this. You're going to think we're nuts. Okay. What was the next thing I want to share? Oh, so I've shared on this podcast before about the presentation structure called format. And I highly recommend you go back and listen to that one. Can't remember which episode it was, but if you search format, it's as in letter four, then mat. It's a foolproof presentation structure that you can use for so many different things. And if you picture four quadrants, and one is, and it goes, and you go clockwise around the quadrants, why, what, how, and if. Now, if you address each of these four quadrants, you engage every different type of audience member. So the why is what Mark did at the start. So asking the questions. Then I noticed he went into the what, and he went in and explained, we are Club Wyndham. This is about Wyndham Resorts. Here's who we are. Here's what we do. So he went into the facts and the data about the company, and he showed some really persuasive graphs and charts with numbers and percentages. Now, numbers and percentages, not my thing, but for many people, including Aaron, they are.
Yeah, I love stats. It's proof of concept. It's like, and I'm not one of these people who's like, oh, I must be with the rest of the people, but I definitely want to understand, you know, who's doing it, how often they're doing it, and why they're doing it, and, you know, graphs and things like that, percentages. They give a firm understanding for me.
So were those numbers, did they make it more appealing for you, Aaron, when they came up?
It's a more persuasive argument for me. I view it like it's, you know, it's proof of concept, because I can say, oh, you'll love it. Lots of people love it. And, you know, Bob loves it. It's like, I'm sure Bob does love it, but I'd like to see the stats.
You want to see that 85% of people love it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's what this was all about. So this is the what part of the presentation. So all the people who love stats and facts and data, they were kept happy through what he shared. Next, he went into the how, and he said, so how do we go on holiday? He used the word vacation because that's what Americans say. How do people go on vacation? And he talked about when you might have a vacation home, which you own. So you own the vacation. Or you might, he calls it renting it, where you go to a hotel and you pay for a night's accommodation, but then his argument was, but you have nothing to show for it at the end of it. You know, you have a receipt and that's all you have to show for it.
On a side note, the one thing that did become blatantly obvious for me is that Americans do not get enough time off work because he was asking, one of the questions he asked was, how long are your holidays usually? And people were saying stuff like 4 days and 6 days and 8 days. Mm. And this is out of a whole year.
Most people in the room had maybe a week's vacation a year.
Yeah, but look, I spoke with a few people afterwards and people were saying they get between 7 and 10 days a year. And I was like, 7 to 10 days of holidays a year and you work the rest of the time.
Because in Australia, it's normal for people to get 4 weeks.
Everybody gets 4 weeks paid annual leave.
Yeah. So going there, it certainly made us feel very grateful.
Yeah, absolutely.
For, you know, living in Australia. And I mean, even though we work for ourselves and we take as much time off as we want.
But even when I've worked for people, yeah. I get my 4 weeks a year. And like, if you've got a good boss, he'll just give you time off unpaid.
Yeah, for sure. And in Australia, it's very normal to take a long vacation. Like, it's very normal if you're like, oh, I'm going away for 3 weeks to Europe. Like, in a lot of places, it's very normal. And no one really questions it. Like, no one's like, what do you mean?
Yeah, in America, it feels like, you know, that the entrepreneurial spirit or the hard work gets you results has, you know, spun into don't take time off. And if you do, take a very short amount of time, which is a little bit sad.
Yeah. So that was something that we learned as well that, we're very grateful for being in Australia. So anyway, oh yes, format structure. So Mark followed that really, really well and I was able to see it in action, which is fantastic. Now, the second thing that he did really well was he shared lots of, he shared two personal stories. that I thought was really lovely. He said that he shared the story of when he first went to one of these presentations. He and his wife had a conversation in the car saying, "Honey, we're not buying anything. All right, we're not buying anything." And he was like, "Yep, definitely not buying anything." And then he shared the story of how like he was in that mindset and was like, "Nah, not going to buy." And then he said it ended up being the best decision he made for his family. Now, that is powerful, right? When you hear a story, now I'm assuming it's a true story, right?
We hope it's a true story.
I hope it's a true story, and I'm going to assume that it's a true story. And it was powerful because many of the people in the room, I'm certain, would have had that exact same conversation in the car on the way there going, "Honey, we're not signing up for anything today. Nothing. Not signing it up." And in fact, did we have that conversation?
No, we didn't, because we're the kind of people that keep an open mind. I thought to myself on the way there, I was like, "I'm pretty sure I won't buy." But because I'm a salesman, I'm always thinking to myself, maybe the spiel will be really good. Maybe they'll force me to buy based off, you know, what the outcome is. They're like, "All right, you get 20 days for, you know, $10 a night." You know, you never know what it's going to be. So for me, I always keep my options open.
Yeah. Okay. You didn't tell me that beforehand.
Of course not. If I tell you that, you'll be like, we would have had the conversation where you said, "Oh, I don't think we should buy," where, you know, my sales instincts tell me if it's a really good deal, I'm going to talk you into buying it.
Yep. Yep. The second story that he shared was about this was a very moving story, actually.
And this one was definitely true because being a salesman, you know, sometimes you hear people give analogies or give a story and you think to yourself, that seems pretty rehearsed, where this one seemed very honest, very raw.
Do you want to share what it was?
Well, he essentially spoke about when his father passed away, and his father passed away at quite a young age. And I guess, you know, like most Americans from what they spoke about yesterday, they don't get a lot of time off. And his dad never, you know, took a lot of holidays, worked hard for the family. And when he finally did finish up at work and go into retirement, he got cancer quite quickly after that and didn't get the chance to go away with, you know, his family or meet his grandchild. And it was a pretty heartbreaking story, you know. So for me, I you know, that definitely touched me.
Yeah, for sure. And I can imagine that would have had a massive impact on people because the message of the story was, you know, what are you waiting for? Don't wait until you're retired. Don't wait for 5 or 10 years' time to take your family on vacation. You know, take them now. Take advantage of this time that you have.
Which is, you know, what me and Christina definitely do. We work very hard, but at the same time, we're always planning. You know, we want to have time off. We want time for ourselves. We want to enjoy our new marriage together. These are all important things.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, so that story was really powerful, and I know like a lot of us when we're thinking, "Oh, I'm in a business situation." You know, I mean, I'm at work. This is business. I can't bring my personal life into it. It really, you know, sharing personal stories when they have the right message can be super powerful because you get, you know, right into people's emotions. And that is where people buy from. And when I say buy, you know, I don't just mean like buying with their money. I mean like buying in with their you know, their ideas or, you know, jumping on board with you and your ideas, you know, getting there, you know, being able to influence them to think a certain way or behave in a certain way. It's that emotional connection.
It's about being relatable as well. Because I'm sure people have, you know, regretted not making decisions or doing things or whatever it may be. So it instantly makes that a relatable story.
Mm. Yeah. So look, overall, so those are the two main things that, I think it's three main things I mentioned that they did really well. And overall, you know, as an observer, it was really great to watch. And you could tell that they've done this many, many, many times before. But the way that Mark presented, even though I could tell he'd done it many times before, it didn't seem overly like contrived or rehearsed. Like it still seemed to flow really naturally, which shows, you know, which is a testament to you know, how effective and he is as an as a presenter.
Well, both Mark and Michael, you can tell, believe in the product.
Yeah.
It's not one of those things where they're like, oh, buy it, buy it, buy it, because part of the spiel for them is, and both Michael and Mark said this, where it was like, we don't have to push this. You know, we're one of the biggest, if not the biggest in the world. You know, 2 out of 4 people buy it, you know, giving more stats, which I like. And yeah, they essentially said to us that people need this and the ones who need this will jump on board and the ones who won't, they won't take it. Like for us, we use a lot of Airbnbs. We travel quite differently than the majority of Americans. We get more time. But I think for a lot of the people in that room, they have such a limited time to take holidays, it would work for them. Mm. It would work for someone who only gets 7 to 10 days a year.
Mm. I think it's a great product.
Yeah.
Is it a product? You call it a product?
I'd call it a product.
Yeah. I thought it was great. Like I thought overall as a product, it was fantastic. And for the right people at the right stage of life, well, that, you know, the appropriate stage of life or whatever, it would work really well. I think, you know, we didn't buy because when we travel, we usually actively avoid hotels and resorts because we, like Aaron said, we like to stay in Airbnbs and get that local experience. Like we like to literally stay in someone's spare room or get an apartment in some local area where you can walk out and buy fruit and veg from Joe, the local grocer, you know, next door. That's just the type of travel that we like. So it just didn't suit us and our style of travel. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we've been overseas before and had hosts that, you know, we've gotten there. It's been in China. We don't know anyone. We don't know the language. And the gentleman was like, here's a map. Here's your bus tickets. Here's some, you know,
herbal tea
and
some dumplings.
Yeah. And
not speaking any English.
And it was beautiful. It was a great experience. And at a hotel, we personally find it a little impersonal.
Mm.
But some people like that. Some people are like, I'm going on holiday and it's all about me and my family and it's we want a lovely place to stay and then stay out of our way.
You know what? You know, I would absolutely love to be a part of the Club Wyndham if, let's say, like the fact that it takes the decision-making out of your travel would be really helpful for me because I find that's one of the hardest things. Like when you go, oh, where are we going to go? Or like, where do we want to go? But then where are we going to stay? What location? If, you know, having all the Wyndham resorts there to pick from, to not have to worry about, oh, where do I go? It's like, oh, we'll go to the Wyndham at this place. I think that would work really well. And if you had like a young family and you wanted to have that certainty of knowing, you know, knowing what you're going to get, I think, because the resorts would be, like the rooms would be of the, you know, similar high standard. So you would know what you're going to get. And I think that would make it very easy and enjoyable for you if you have a young family.
Absolutely. And, you know, with Airbnb, you take the good with the bad because we've had times before where we've rocked up to joints and we've been like, this doesn't look like the photos. This is not what we agreed to. But the majority of the time, we find it works really well for us.
Yep. Again, no commission being made by Airbnb.
Yeah. And, you know, the bad Airbnbs, you know, don't sue us. We still love you, Airbnb. Love.
If it's bad, we just don't give a review at all.
Yeah. We let it slide and we move on to the next Airbnb.
Awesome. Maybe we'll do another podcast in the future about Aaron and Christina's travel tips.
With Airbnb.
I think we could do that, actually.
We could.
So that's what we wanted to share with you. A really interesting experience at Club Wyndham, and I'm glad that we did it because it was great to learn.
And we got half-price tickets to Disneyland.
Yay! So if you do want half-price Disneyland tickets, then you know what you're in for, right? And like me, you know, you can be an observer. And be an observer of the experience and see, you know, how they go about doing things.
Yeah, and as a salesman, it was nice to experience a sales pitch that I wasn't giving.
Yay! Cool. So that brings us to the end of this episode. Next week, we will be back most likely, you know, Aaron, if you will join me again, will you?
Yeah, I will be your co-host for the next couple of weeks, unless you want to do a solo show and I'm asleep, you know.
That could
relaxing.
Very well happen, yep. Next week we'll do an episode about podcast movement and what we learned.
Oh, yeah, we'll definitely do that.
Yep, we'll do that. So I look forward to seeing you there. Don't forget to join the Facebook group, The C Method Rockstars. Connect with me there. If you're not a Facebook person, then come on over to LinkedIn and connect with Aaron and myself. We will be posting about Podcast Movement.
Oh, yeah, well. And you can follow our page on LinkedIn, which is Podcast Services Australia.
Australia. Have an amazing week, and I will talk to you real soon. I'm Christina Canters.
And I'm Aaron Heath.
And this has been Stand Out, Get Noticed.
Yeah.